why nice people get taken advantage of. Being a nice person should make your life easier. It should help you build better relationships, stronger friendships, and a happier working life. So why do so many genuinely kind people end up feeling exhausted, overlooked, and taken for granted or even taken advantage of? Why do you seem to attract the very people who ask for more, give less, and slowly chip away at your confidence? The answer has very little to do with kindness in self. In fact, the psychology behind why this happens is far more interesting than most people realise. In this article, we're going to explore why nice people so often get taken advantage of, and more importantly, how you can stop it happening without becoming someone you're not. To watch the extended YouTube version, where I also discuss confidence changes the dynamic, guilt keeps us stuck, and why changing feels so difficult, click the link below. Introduction. Kindness is usually seen as one of our greatest strengths. We're encouraged to be kind from an early age. We admire people who are generous, supportive, and willing to help others. We want our friends to be caring, our colleagues to be considerate, and our leaders to be compassionate. So why do so many genuinely kind people end up feeling exhausted, overlooked, and taken for granted? Why do they seem to attract the colleague who always asks for just one more favour? The friend who only gets in touch when they need something? Or the family member who expects endless support without offering much in return? Over the years, I've coached many people who found themselves asking exactly the same question. In fact, I've often asked it myself. Why does this keep happening to me? Most assume the answer is simple. They think they're too nice, need stronger boundaries, or simply have to learn to say no. Those things can certainly help, but they don't explain why this pattern develops in the first place. Being taken advantage of isn't usually caused by being kind. It's caused by behavioural patterns that quietly teach other people what they can expect from us. Understanding those patterns is the key to making sure your kindness is appreciated rather than simply expected. Kindness often becomes predictability. One of the biggest misconceptions is that kind people get taken advantage of because they're weak. In my experience, that's rarely true. Many of the people I coach who struggle with this are incredibly capable. They're conscientious, dependable, and emotionally intelligent. They are the people who keep organisations running smoothly, support their friends through difficult times, and somehow manage to juggle everyone else's needs alongside their own, or sometimes at the detriment to their own. The problem isn't their kindness. The problem is that their behaviour becomes predictable. Human beings are constantly looking for patterns. Without even realizing it, we notice who usually volunteers, who rarely complains, and who is unlikely to refuse a request. Before long, those observations become expectations. The colleague who initially appreciated your help gradually begins assuming you'll always stay behind. The friend who once thanked you for listening starts ringing every time they have a problem. The family member who genuinely needed your support slowly begins expecting it. Most people don't make this shift deliberately. They're simply responding to the pattern you've consistently shown them until kindness becomes part of your identity in their eyes. Why difficult people test boundaries. Most emotionally healthy people respect boundaries. If you explain that you're unavailable or unable to help, they'll usually understand. They may feel disappointed, but they recognize that your needs matter too. Not everybody responds like that. Some people naturally push a little further. They ask, they apply pressure, they appeal to your sense of responsibility or make you feel guilty for saying no. Others simply assume that because you've helped before, you'll help again. Psychologists often refer to this as boundary testing. Every relationship involves an unconscious process of discovering what's acceptable. We all do it to some extent by observing how people respond. If someone asks you to do something unreasonable and you politely decline, they've learned where your limit is. If they ask, you reluctantly agree, and then agree again the following week, they've learned something very different. People learn far more from our behaviour than our words. That's why saying I'm really busy while continuing to take on extra work rarely changes anything. Your behaviour tells the real story. Why saying yes becomes a habit. Most people know that they don't want to say yes. They simply don't want to experience what comes after saying no. Perhaps they worry about disappointing someone. Perhaps they fear conflict, rejection, or criticism. Maybe they simply don't like feeling as though they've let someone down. Our brains are remarkably efficient at helping us avoid emotional discomfort. Every time saying yes helps us avoid an awkward conversation or uncomfortable feeling, our brain reinforces that behaviour. It learns that agreeing is the quickest route back to emotional safety. Unfortunately, what's rewarding in the short term isn't always healthy in the long term. The immediate relief of saying yes often creates weeks or months of additional stress, resentment, and exhaustion. Eventually, saying yes becomes automatic. Instead of asking, "Do I really want to do this?" our brain jumps straight into, "How do I avoid making this uncomfortable?" At that point, the decision isn't really about the favour anymore. It's about escaping the emotions attached to refusing it. The reciprocity trap. One of the most fascinating psychological patterns I see is that we often assume everyone else thinks the way we do. If we support a colleague, we naturally believe that colleague would support us in return. If we make time for a friend, we assume that friend would do the same if roles were reversed. Psychologists sometimes describe this as projection. We assume other people share our values because those values feel normal to us. Healthy relationships usually work that way, but not everybody operates by the same rules. Some people are grateful for kindness, some simply accept it, and a small number actively seek out people who consistently give more than they receive. This is why genuinely kind people are often shocked when someone we've supported repeatedly disappears the moment we need help ourselves. We weren't naive, we simply assumed that they were playing by the same rules. The wrap up. Being taken advantage of doesn't mean you're weak, and it certainly doesn't mean you should stop being kind. Kindness is one of the greatest strengths a person can have. The problem isn't kindness itself. It's when that kindness becomes so predictable that other people stop appreciating it and simply begin expecting it. The good news is that you don't have to become harder, colder, or less compassionate to change that. Often the biggest shift comes from recognizing that your needs matter just as much as everyone else's, and that saying no occasionally doesn't make you selfish. Ultimately, the goal isn't to stop being a nice person. It's to become someone whose kindness is given by choice rather than obligation, because that's where genuine confidence and healthy relationships begin. My top tip for changing your behavior: next time someone asks you to do something you would usually say yes to, ask yourself, am I doing this, one, because it's the right thing to do, two, because I want to do it, or three, because I want them to like me? What next? Again, there is much more on this topic in the extended YouTube version. I can only put so much in an article, where I also discuss confidence changes the dynamic, guilt keeps us stuck, and why changing feels so difficult. Again, the link is below. If you enjoy my content, I'd love you to subscribe to my YouTube channel. Every like, comment, and subscription genuinely helps more people discover my work and enables me to continue creating free content. If your organization is looking to develop more confident, psychologically aware leaders, or you'd like to discuss executive coaching, leadership development, or keynote speaking for your next event, I'd love to hear from you. Contact me at info@joebanks.net. If there's a particular workplace, leadership, or psychology topic you'd like me to explore in a future article or video, please let me know. I'm always interested in hearing your suggestions. Finally, if you haven't already, you can subscribe to my newsletter by clicking the newsletter tab at the top of the page. As always, thank you for listening and for your continued support.